Good afternoon, 4:30 and 88 degrees in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Dan Conte.
And I'm Samantha Morrill.
They should be commended. They save lives just by that one decision.
Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent is praising St. Clair Regional Medical Center for providing naloxone to first responders prior to last week's rash of heroin overdoses.
An Ashland man whose body was found last week in a Huntington home may have been murdered.
Senator Rand Paul says he will not run for president in 2020.
In sports, the Reds go for the sweep tonight against Milwaukee.
Bud Luke has the business news.
Partly cloudy tonight with lows in the mid-60s. The complete forecast is coming up after this news.
WSAZ is reporting that an Ashland man found dead in the crawl space of a Huntington home probably died as the result of violence. That's what Huntington police are saying about the discovery of 33-year-old Joseph Earwood's body in a residence on Latool Avenue. The victim was discovered September 8th by a maintenance man who was called to investigate an odor that a couple renting the home had complained about. Police have issued a warrant for the arrest of 36-year-old Christopher R. Tripp of Ashland. They've also charged a 38-year-old Russell man, Michael Vest, with concealing the body.
It's not likely that the abuse of heroin is going to subside anytime soon. That grim assessment is from a narcotics investigator for the Rowan County Sheriff's Department, David Myris. He says it's because of the way the drug is being mixed with fentanyl and the elephant tranquilizer, carfentanil.
It's measured in micrograms, and they just can't eye that. There's no way that the dealers are going to be able to get this mixture correctly. So we're going to see waves in different towns and different areas. Whenever that comes in, we'll see waves of death and overdose.
Myris says carfentanil is 100 times more potent than fentanyl. He says both are probably here to stay for some time because they enable heroin to be made less expensively.
Moorhead Mayor Jim Tom Trent is praising St. Clair Regional Medical Center for supplying naloxone to Rowan County's first responders just prior to a spate of heroin overdoses in the community last week. One person died during the period Thursday and Friday, but Trent says it could have been worse.
I know for a fact that there would have been two to three more. Factual, know that without a doubt, because I've talked to the people on the scene, that there would have been deaths, and I think even higher than that if we didn't have that. St. Clair Medical Center, they are an unsung hero. The fact that they stepped up 2 weeks ago when Dr. Milan called us together for the beginning of this, and that was said, you know, we're going to take care of this. We're going to supply the spray to you.
Trent says St. Clair's commitment to provide the heroin antidote free of charge to rescue squads and police and fire departments kept people alive. The mayor spoke Tuesday night following a community forum on the heroin epidemic.
Rowan County Jailer Wes Coldiron says he has changed his mind about needle exchange programs. The former Moorhead police officer says he now favors the idea.
If you'd asked me 8 years ago when I was a police officer when I first started, I said, man, you're crazy. You know, in Moorhead, Kentucky, needle exchange, we don't need it. But now I see the problem every day and I deal with the problem on a daily basis. And I believe it's an opportunity we have to maybe save somebody's life.
Coldiron was elected as Rowan's jailer in 2014. He believes the needle exchange program would not just help curb drug abuse, but would also slow the spread of diseases like AIDS and hepatitis C.
Friends or family who bail loved ones out of jail following their arrest on charges related to substance abuse are not doing them any favors. That's the view of the Chief Circuit Court Judge for Kentucky's 21st District, Beth Mays. The judge says she often sets a high bond for defendants who appear to have a serious drug dependency problem in order to keep them behind bars.
Because they can't realize recovery until they are forced to do without the drug. And that's not going to happen. They may want to be off drugs, but if you let them out, then they're stealing for their drug addiction. If they're writing cold checks for their drug addiction, if you let them out, then chances are the very next day they're going to commit another offense.
Mays says abusers who stay in jail for a time and get placed in an outpatient treatment program are more likely to break their addiction. Her circuit includes Rowan, Bath, Menifee, and Montgomery counties.
The Democrats' candidate for Congress in Kentucky's 6th District says Governor Bevin's remarks to a conservative group in Washington last weekend are indefensible. Nancy Jo Kemper thinks the Republican governor should be impeached because he suggested that blood might have to be shed in the cause of liberty if Hillary Clinton is elected president. Kemper is an ordained minister who says Bevin's comments are unacceptable on religious and political grounds.
There are many Christian Democrats and Christian Republicans, including, I would hope, my own opponent, Congressman Barr, and people of many other religious beliefs and none as well, who do not agree with our governor that there is any place for bloodshed in our modern political discourse.
Kemper spoke at a news conference in Frankfort. A spokesman for the Kentucky Republican Party says her call for impeachment is a sign of desperation from a candidate who is far behind in the polls.
When it comes to running for president, Kentucky's junior senator says he's one and done. Rand Paul was one of 17 candidates who vied for the Republican presidential nomination earlier this year. His Democratic opponent in this year's Senate race, Lexington Mayor Jim Gray, is charging that Paul shortchanged Kentuckians while he made his bid for the nation's highest office and will do it again in 2020 during the next presidential election. Paul says Gray is wrong.
I'd say he's grasping at straws. I have indicated no desire to run again. I really enjoyed the process. I think it was good to be in the national stage for Kentucky. We not only have a senator that's in leadership, we had a senator that was in the middle of the national debate. So I think it was all good for Kentucky to be part of that. And I'm proud of the way I conducted myself.
Paul says Gray is putting up a straw man to distract Kentuckians from the real issues because he doesn't have anything else to offer.
Kentucky's Mitch McConnell says Republican senators met Tuesday in Washington with GOP vice presidential candidate Mike Pence. McConnell is his party's leader in the Senate and says the conference was a chance for lawmakers to ask questions of the Indiana governor.
And I think I can pretty safely say everybody felt good about the Pence selection when it was announced, and felt even better about it today. It was a very good meeting.
McConnell was speaking to reporters at a press conference on the Senate Republican agenda.
A Kentucky lawmaker wants to avoid tragedies like the one that killed a 3-year-old boy earlier this week. Here is KNN's Suzanne Duvall.
Democratic Senator Gerald Neal pre-filed gun storage safety legislation to be considered during the 2017 legislative session.
Makes it a Class B misdemeanor if you don't store your firearm properly, and a Class A misdemeanor if it results in injury or death.
Earlier this week in Louisville, 3-year-old Anthony Blake Wells died after accidentally shooting himself with a gun he found behind the family TV set. I'm Suzanne Duvall.
The Morgan County Air Evac Life Team was recently honored as region's the most improved base of the year. The Morgan County base is a part of the company's second region, which includes bases in Kentucky, Ohio, West Virginia, and Tennessee. Julie Barnes is with the Morgan County Life Team. She says the yearly award is based off of votes from other members in Region 2.
They actually look at, you know, flight volumes, requests, obviously staff retention, how much community, you know, involvement that we're involved in, as well as outreach education classes. And over, you know, the year period, they put in and they do for monthly awards for nurses, medics, you know, all of our different areas that we carry.
Barnes credits an increased amount of community involvement as one of the reasons for the improvement. Life Team is a 24-hour service providing emergency air evacuation and transportation between medical facilities.
A financial dispute between Fleming County and the city of Ewing has been smoothed over. The disagreement involves some money the county believed the town of 270 residents owed it for some road work. However, Judge Executive Larry Foxworthy says, as per an interlocal agreement between the two governments, Ewing was only supposed to repay the county the amount it received from the state in municipal road aid.
The actual cost that we had done out there was about $11,000, but the amount of their municipal road aid wasn't but about $5,500 or $6,000. So we agreed to do that much work for that kind of money. So we have to, there was a little misunderstanding about how we have to bill ours out. You know, we have to bill it out at the actual number in our books. But on the revenue side of it, all we get is what they get from the state.
Foxworthy says Fleming County has already received its payment from Ewing and says its financial records will be fixed to reflect that.
The new executive director for the Morehead-Rowan Economic Development Council is plotting his first move as he gets ready to take on the role. Bob Helton was named to head the EDC last week. He starts on October 1st. When it comes to convincing businesses and companies to locate into the area, the 62-year-old Helton already knows what his biggest challenge will be.
Being absolutely ready for an industry or a prospect to come take a look. You know, you've got to be sure that you have all the utilities available on site. In today's very competitive market, these industries are looking for a site where they can start building tomorrow. And they have to be, all the utilities and the amenities have to be in place.
Helton adds, without those things, you're likely to lose out on a prospective new business and corporation. The West Liberty native comes to the Morehead-Rowan EDC after several years as the Economic Development Director for R.J. Corman Railroad Construction.
The Ashland Board of Education is looking for some financial assistance, Kenzie Thompson reports.
According to the Ashland Independent, the school board will seek a line of credit of up to $750,000. Superintendent Sean Howard says the money will help ensure that the district has enough cash to meet its financial obligations until school tax revenues start rolling in next month. Public schools generally deal with low revenues during the first 3 months of the new academic calendar. Ashland Schools also plan to hire a financial consultant. Current Director of Finance, Timothy Walters, has decided to retire as of November 1st. The consultant will fill in until the district is able to find someone who can permanently fill the finance director's position. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Kenzie Thompson.
Last year, over 3 million pounds of fresh Kentucky produce was distributed to food banks all over the Commonwealth. That announcement was made today at a joint meeting of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees. Tamara Sandberg is executive director of the Kentucky Association of Food Banks. She says $600,000 from the state and $30,000 in taxpayer donations means that Kentucky farmers saw an increase in sales.
Over 400 farmers in 62 counties benefited from an average increase in cash flow of just over $1,500, which isn't a lot, but that's the average. So we bought a peck of tomatoes, literally, from some farmers. And then we had, I believe that year, Courtney Farms in Shelby County received almost $40,000. So we're hoping to bump that average up every year, but it's real money.
She says the extra funds mean that farmers can make payroll and keep their workers longer. Farmers this year grew more than the previous year, and all the funds appropriated to the program were spent on fresh produce and meat to be given to charities and food banks.
And finally, this afternoon, eastern Kentucky is experiencing one of the longest dry spells for this time of year in recent memory. That's according to forecaster Pete Jajarian with the National Weather Service office in Jackson. He says a ridge of high pressure has been hanging over the region, preventing weather fronts carrying precipitation from entering the region.
And, I mean, the other thing is, too, is that we've been fairly wet through the summer, so this has been kind of a more unusual dry stretch. And, I mean, it is dry. I mean, it's one of the top four driest beginnings to September.
The dry spell is expected to continue over the next few weeks with above-average temperatures lingering into the fall.
Taking a look at the area weather forecast for the rest of today, warm and sunny with highs lingering around 88 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy later on with lows in the lower 60s. Thursday, partly sunny skies, highs around 85, and Thursday night, partly cloudy with lows in the lower 60s. Friday, mostly sunny with highs in the upper 80s, and Friday night, mostly cloudy, lows near 65. It is currently 90 degrees in Ashland, 86 in Flemingsburg, 89 degrees in Inez and Winchester. It's 91 degrees in Lexington, and right here on the campus of Morehead State University, it's 88 degrees.
444. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. It is great to have you with us on this Wednesday afternoon. On our feature segment, Carter Cave State Resort Park has announced the reopening of two of its caves. MSPR's Courtney Howell has that story.
Laurel Cave and Horn Hollow Cave have recently been reopened for self-guided exploration at Carter Cave State Resort Park. The two caves were closed to the public in 2009 by the Kentucky Department of Parks and the Kentucky Department of Fish and Wildlife as part of a nationwide effort to stop the spread of white-nose syndrome in bats. Kentucky Department of Parks biologist Lindsay McCollum says white-nose syndrome is a fungal infection that attacks the bat's immune system during hibernation.
The fungus itself isn't fatal to the bats, but what happens is during hibernation, the bat's immune systems slow a little bit. All of their systems will slow down. So this fungus then has a chance to really take over the bat's body and all of its systems. And so the bat will then wake up, you know, it will come out of that torpor, out of hibernation. At that point, once it wakes up, it has used many of its energy stores that it has to last it through hibernation, just in the simple act of waking up. They don't have anything to eat or drink. They've used all of their energy stores, and then they just actually starve to death. So it's very, very deadly.
In 2013, cases of white-nose syndrome were confirmed at Carter Caves. Horn Hollow and Laurel Caves remained closed to the public in the hopes of containing the disease and preventing its spread to other areas in the state. Park naturalist Paul Tierney says the park has not allowed access to the caves since 2013, but due to high demand to explore the caves, that all changed.
It was determined by the Kentucky Department of Parks that we would allow people to go through these caves, of course, pending some of the rules and regulations associated with that. Number one, you have to sign out a permit. We actually opened back up those caves on August 1st, so they've been open for roughly about a month. And I think particularly on the weekends, it's not uncommon for us to sign anywhere from 6 to about 10 permits on a Saturday, a busy Saturday. And that number has slowly been rising since the word has gotten out about us reopening those caves.
Although white-nose syndrome has now spread throughout Kentucky, Lindsay McCollum says disinfectant areas will still be enforced at the park.
We have what's called a biomat that people can walk across. When they come out of the cave, we may dry brush their shoes to get some of the mud or anything like that off. We have sanitation wipes that they can use to wipe off the helmets that we give them, upper edge of their shoes and things like that, any other equipment.
Cave enthusiasts, adventure seekers, or those who are just curious about Laurel and Horn Hollow Caves can visit the park's Welcome Center to acquire a free permit to explore these wild caverns. Reporting for Morehead State Public Radio News, I'm Courtney Howell.
It is 4:47. You are listening to Mountain Edition on Morehead State Public Radio. All Things Considered from NPR is coming up at 5 o'clock, and Braxton has sports right after we take this time out.
Support for MSPR comes from the 24th Annual Poppy Mountain Bluegrass Festival, today through Saturday at Poppy Mountain Campgrounds off US 60 East in Moorhead. More than 40 bands featuring Russell Moore and Third Time Out, Lonesome River Band, Steep Canyon Rangers, High Valley, Dave Evans, Goldwing Express, and more. Daily and weekend passes available at the gate or by calling 606-784-2277 and online at poppymountainbluegrass.com.
Good afternoon with Morehead State Public Radio Sports. I'm Braxton Howard. The Cincinnati Reds will go for the sweep in their three-game home set with Milwaukee tonight. After losing five straight games, the Reds have now won five straight after earning a 6-4 win last night behind Dan Straley, who picked up his 12th win by going eight innings. The right-hander is now 7-2 for the second half of the season and says the key to success has been throwing strikes.
You just got to let the guys put the ball in play, and something I've been doing a lot better. You know, that run of a couple games without any walks and stuff like that, where it helps everything in terms of my game.
First pitch at Great American Ballpark between the Reds and the Brewers will come at 7:10. Some afternoon baseball scores. The Cubs beat the Cardinals 7-0. It was Tampa Bay over Toronto 8-1. The Padres and the Giants are tied at 1 in the fourth inning. The Yankees and Dodgers are tied at 0 in the second. And the Mets and the Nationals are also knotted at 0 in the third. Fall practice for the Morehead State baseball team continues at Allen Field. The Eagles followed a 2015 OVC title with a 32-27 record last spring. And Coach Mike McGuire believes their offense needs to improve in 2017.
For us to, you know, to get to another level, you know, and be a 35 plus win every single year, you know, we've got to have consistency. Last year we weren't as good a club offensively. The year before we led the nation in several offensive categories. Well, we don't have to lead the nation in those categories. we got to be a more consistent offense than what we were.
Despite their offensive fall-off last spring, the Eagles still hit .312 as a team and averaged over 7 runs a game. The Morehead State football team is preparing for Saturday night's home game against Lincoln of Pennsylvania. MSU followed up its opening game 80-7 loss at number 11 James Madison with a 17-13 defeat last weekend at Jane Stadium against VMI. While head coach Rob Tenier says his team showed some serious progress, it failed to take advantage of some key chances to win the game.
We got to make plays when we've got opportunity to make plays. Bottom line, you got to be productive. And in big downs, we were not that.
Lincoln is 1-1 this season. Saturday's game at Jane Stadium kicks off at 6 p.m. The 0-2 Kentucky football team is preparing for Saturday's matchup with New Mexico State at Commonwealth Stadium. Coming off of 2 disappointing losses to start the season, including a 45-7 beatdown against Florida last weekend, head coach Mark Stoops insists his team will turn things around.
It's not acceptable. We need to play better, and we will. We've showed that we could play some good football. We know we already been down that road. It's not acceptable to not play 4 quarters. But our team will play with that passion and that energy that our fan base wants to see. We will do that. I promise you that.
Saturday's game against the Aggies kicks off at 4 o'clock. The 10th-ranked Louisville Cardinals football team is preparing for a battle with 2nd-ranked Florida State. The Cardinals have outscored their opponents 132-42 so far this season, but head coach Bobby Petrino says Saturday's matchup with the Seminoles will be a challenging one, and one he and his players are excited about.
Look forward to the game Saturday. You know, it's exciting. They're a very good football team. They've got great players. They're very, very well coached. It's a great challenge for us. I know our players are excited about it and really looking forward to it. We're looking forward to the week of preparation. But for our players, it's really just about focusing and practicing and going about their business exactly the same way we have been.
Saturday's game kicks off at 12 at Papa John's Cardinal Stadium. As he gets his team prepared for Friday night's homecoming battle with Grant County, Round County football coach Gene Peterson is already thinking about the future. The young Vikings are 0-4 this season, and Peterson says it's already clear that they'll have one very important thing they need to work on as they point towards 2017.
Right now, we don't have the team speed that we really need to have, but I think it's because of our youth that we're playing on. You know, a lot of inexperienced kids, and they're still kind of hesitating to go where they need to go because they're always kind of thinking about it.
Grant County will check into Paul Ousley Stadium Friday evening with a 2-2 record. Some notes from around the NBA. Oklahoma City forward Mitch McGarry has been suspended for the first 15 games of the year for violating the NBA's anti-drug policy. And Chris Bosh of the Miami Heat says he feels ready to play and that he expects to be with the team when training camp opens in a few weeks. Bosh has had to miss a considerable amount of playing time over the last 2 seasons because of blood clots. And finally in sports, the Morehead State volleyball team will host a 4-team Comfort Inn Invitational this weekend at Weatherby Gym. The Eagles will go into the event with a 3-7 record. Coach Jamie Gordon says he feels his team needs to play well on offense in order to have a successful tournament.
What needs to be solid is what we're doing on our side of the ball and making sure that our serve and pass game is consistent, that our offense is running strong, and we're taking advantage of point scoring opportunities.
The Eagles' first game of the tournament will be against Coppin State at 11 a.m. They will also face Montana and Kent State in the tournament. That's it for sports for Morehead State Public Radio. I'm Braxton Howard.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics online at msueagles.com. Eagle football will host the Lincoln University Lions on Saturday as part of MSU's Family Weekend. Game time is set for 6 p.m. Tickets from the Morehead State Athletic Office at 783-2386 or online at msueagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing stock market report for MSU Public Radio. U.S. stocks closed mostly lower, with energy weighing in particular as oil prices fell sharply, despite bullish inventories data reported by the EIA. And at the close of the Dow, industrials did finish with a loss of 31.98 at 18,034.77. The S&P 500 was down 1.25 at 2125.77. And the NASDAQ composite, bucking the trend, was up 18.52 at 5173.77. The NASDAQ being helped by strength in particular in Apple and also biotech stocks. New York Stock Exchange breadth was 15-14 in favor of losing stocks over winners. U.S. crude prices briefly turned positive after the EIA said that U.S. oil inventories fell by about 600,000 barrels last week, but oil failed to hold those gains, with West Texas Intermediate settling about 3% lower at $43.58 a barrel. In corporate news, German drug and crops chemicals firm Bayer agreed to buy Monsanto for $66 billion, or $128 a share. Monsanto stock was up about 0.625%, although it's well below the buyout price, as there is certainly a large amount of skepticism that regulators will allow this buyout to go through. Gold futures for December delivery were up $2.40 an ounce at $1,326.10. And in Europe, markets were mixed, and in Asia, markets were mostly down, with the Shanghai and Nikkei both down about 0.7%. Among Dow industrial stocks, your best performers were Apple and Caterpillar. Your worst performers were American Express and IBM. And in the S&P 500, your best performers were Skyworks Solutions and, of course, Apple. And your worst performers were Vertex Pharmaceuticals and Range Resources. Turning now to stocks of local interest, it was Ashland Incorporated up 46 cents at 117.70, CSX up 36 cents at 28.95, Marathon Petroleum down 66 cents at 41.84, AK Steel up 2 cents at 4.08, AEP up 21 cents at 64.02, and Anthem was down $1.26 at 123.31. Reporting for MSU Public Radio, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for programming on MSPR comes from the Mountain Arts Center, Prestonsburg Tourism, City of Prestonsburg, and Paintsville Tourism, presenting the Levisa Fork Paddle Jam September 23rd and 24th. Weekend package includes a 16-mile kayak-slash-canoe trip, two nights camping, meals, and Friday night concert featuring Railroad Earth. Tickets and more information at 606-886-2623 and online at macarts.com.
Taking one final look at the weather forecast for the MSPR listening area. For the rest of this afternoon, warm with sunny skies, highs near 88 degrees. Tonight, partly cloudy in the evening, then becoming mostly cloudy later on with lows in the lower 60s. On Thursday, partly sunny skies, highs around 85 degrees. Thursday night, partly cloudy with lows in the lower 60s. Friday, mostly sunny, highs in the upper 80s. Friday night, mostly cloudy with lows in the mid-60s, and on Saturday, mostly cloudy with a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms, highs near 86 degrees. Saturday night, cloudy with a 50% chance of rain, showers, and thunderstorms, those will be in the mid-60s. That chance of rain continues on Sunday, mostly cloudy sky Sunday with showers and thunderstorms likely throughout the day, highs will be in the lower 80s, and the chance of rain is at 60%. Taking a look at area temperatures, it is currently 90 degrees in Ashland, 86 degrees in Flemingsburg. In Inez, it is 89 degrees, 91 degrees in Lexington, it's 89 degrees in Winchester, and right here on the campus of Morehead State University, it is currently 88 degrees.
And that will bring the curtain down on Mountain Edition this afternoon. We had help from Chuck Meraz, Arlo Barnett, Ellen Barnett, Nathan Gutierrez, Braxton Howard, Courtney Howell, Sean Delaney, Ashley Chapman, and Kenzie Thompson. From the Kentucky News Network, Suzanne Duvall. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead, and translator W202BHINES. Our show is archived daily on the web at wmky.org. For Samantha Morrill and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Dan Conte, Moorhead State Public Radio News. All Things Considered is next. It's 5 o'clock.